Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma, Head of Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to our fourth quarter FY23 earnings call. I am Abhishek from the Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q4 financial and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Managing Director, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan, CFO, Mr. Abhay Gandhi, CEO North America, and Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, CEO India Business. Today, the team will discuss financial performance for the quarter, business highlights, and respond to any questions that you may have. For ease of discussion, we will look at consolidated financials. The call recording and call transcript will also be put out on our website shortly. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. You are requested to ask two questions in the initial round. If you have more questions, you are requested to rejoin the queue. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shanghvi.
Thank you, Abhishek, and welcome and thank you for joining us for this earnings call after the announcement of financial results for the fourth quarter and full year of FY23. Let me discuss some of the highlights. Financial year 2023 was a good year for us, with consolidated sales growing by 12.6% to rupees 432,789 million, driven by strong performance across markets led by USA, India, emerging market, and rest of the world market, all recording double-digit growths. We posted EBITDA growth of 12% and adjusted net profit growth of 12.8% for the year. For the fourth quarter, consolidated sales were 107,256 million, recording a growth of 14.3% year-on-year, driven by global specialty, emerging markets, India, and rest of the world markets. Let me now update you on our global specialty business. In FY23, we recorded a strong ramp-up in our global specialty sales, which were up by 29% to reach $871 million. For Q4, our global specialty revenue were $244 million, up by 31.7% year-on-year. This included a milestone payment of $6.8 million received in Q4 FY23. Excluding the milestone payment, specialty business accounted for 18.2% of overall sales for the quarter. Specialty R&D accounted for 31.7% of our total R&D spend for the quarter. On January 23, we announced the launch of Sezaby in the US for treatment of neonatal seizures. Abhay will give you more details on the specialty business later. I will now hand over the call to Murali for discussion of Q4 financial performance.
Thank you, Mr. Shanghvi. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to all of you. Our full year and Q4 financials are already with you. As usual, we look at key consolidated financials. The full year FY23 sales were at Rs. 432,789 million, a growth of 12.6% over the same period last year. Excluding COVID product sales for the last year, overall sales were up by 13.9%. Material cost stands at 24.6% of sales, lower year-on-year due to better product mix and higher specialty product sales. While staff cost as percentage of sales are marginally higher than last year, the increase in absolute value is on account of annual merit increase, consolidation of the Alchemy acquisition, and the expansion of the sales force. Other expenses were at 30.4% of sales is higher than last year on account of higher selling and distribution expenses, higher R&D expenses, and consolidation of Alchemy business. Forex loss for the year was ₹1,261 million compared to gain of about ₹1,540 million in FY22. EBITDA for the full year was at ₹116,468 million, a growth of 12% over the same period last year with resulting EBITDA margin of 26.5%. Adjusted net profit for FY23 was at ₹86,450 million, up by 12.8% year-on-year. Reported net profit for FY23 was at ₹84,736 million. As of 31st March 2023, net cash was US$1.5 billion at consolidated level and US$196 million at the ex-Taro level. Let me now discuss the Q4 FY23 performance. Gross sales for Q4 were at ₹107,256 million, up by 14.3% over Q4 last year. Material cost as a percentage of sales was 21%, significantly lower than Q4 last year due to better product mix, including higher specialty sales. Stock cost stood at 20.3% of sales. Other expenditures stood at 34.2% of sales, higher than Q4 last year. The increase in other expenses is largely driven by continued normalization of sales and distribution expenses over the past few quarters. The normalization of other expenses happened to a large extent. Forex loss for the quarter was at ₹272 million compared to gain of ₹1,610 million for Q4 last year. EBITDA for Q4 was at ₹28,021 million, including other operating revenues, up by 19.7% over Q4 last year, with EBITDA margins at 25.6%. Reported net profit for Q4 was at ₹19,845 million. Adjusted net profit is up by 36.3% year-on-year compared to adjusted net profit of Q4 last year. Reported EPS for the quarter was at ₹8.27 per share. Let me now discuss the key movements versus Q3 FY23. Our consolidated gross sales were lower by about 3.4% Q-on-Q at ₹107,256 million. Material cost at 21% of sales, lower than Q3 FY23 on account of several moving parts leading to change in product mix. Material cost as a percentage of sales should normalize going forward. Stock cost at 20.3% of sales were higher in absolute terms versus Q3 FY23 due to higher incentives and concert consolidation. Other expenses at 34.2% of sales were higher compared to Q3 FY23. EBITDA margin for Q4 was at 25.6% compared to 26.7% for Q3. Reported net profit for Q4 stands at ₹19,845 million. Let me now briefly discuss Taro's performance. Taro posted Q4 FY23 revenues of US$146.6 million, higher by 2.3% over Q4 FY22, a net profit of US$6.9 million. For the full year FY23, revenues were US$573 million, up 2.1% year-on-year, and net profit was $25.4 million, lower by 56.4%. Tyro's financials for Q4 FY23 and FY23 includes the consolidation of the Alchemy acquisition. I will now hand over to Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, who will share the performance of our India business.
Thank you, Murali. Let me take you through the performance of our India business. Our India formulation sales for the full year FY23 were ₹136,031 million, recording 6.6% growth over previous year. The underlying business has performed well. Excluding the contribution of COVID product from previous year, the sales grew by 10.2%. For Q4, the sales of formulation in India were ₹33,641 million, recording a growth of about 8.7% over Q4 last year. India formulation sales accounted for 31.4% of total consolidated sales for the quarter. We continue to witness good growth across multiple therapy areas in the chronic and subchronic segment for the quarter. Sun Pharma is ranked number one and holds 8.33% market share in the over ₹1850 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per AIOCD AWACS MAT March 23 report. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8.31%. As per SMSRC MAT February 23 prescription report, we are number one ranked company. Sun Pharma is also ranked number one by prescription with 12 different doctor categories. For Q4 financial year 23, the company launched 24 new products in the Indian market. I will now hand over the call to Abhay.
Thank you, Kirti. I will briefly discuss the performance highlights of our U.S. business. Our overall U.S. business grew by 10.3% to $16484 million for the full year FY23, driven mainly by the strong performance of our specialty business. For Q4, our overall sales in the U.S. grew by about 10.5% over Q4 last year to $430 million. The main drivers of growth was the specialty business driven by Ilumya, Winlevi, Cequa and Levula. The U.S. accounted for over 33% of consolidated sales for the quarter. Specialty sales have also grown compared to December 22 quarter, and we remain excited on growth opportunities in the portfolio. Let me now update you on our U.S. generics business. Over the last year, this business has gained from a combination of new launches and market share gains from existing products. However, those gains were offset by full quarter impact of the import alert at our Halol facility. We launched generic lenalidomide capsules during Q4 FY23 in the U.S. For Q4, we launched four generic products in the U.S. on an ex-Taro basis. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shanti.
Thank you, Abhay. I will briefly discuss the performance highlights of our other businesses as well as give you an update on our R&D initiatives. Our branded formulation revenues in emerging markets were at about $983 million for the full year, up by about 8.6% year-on-year. For fourth quarter, sales in emerging markets were about $221 million, up by 7.5% over fourth quarter last year. The underlying growth in constant currency terms were about 10% for year-on-year for fourth quarter. Emerging markets accounted for about 17% of total consolidated revenues for Q4. Amongst the larger markets in local currency terms, Russia and Romania have done well. For the full year, formulation sales in rest of the world markets, excluding US and emerging markets, were about 752 million, up by about 2.7% over last year. On a constant currency basis, the ROW markets grew by 10.6% in FY23. For Q4, rest of the world sales were US$191 million, up by about 7.4% over fourth quarter last year. Rest of the world markets accounted for approximately 15% of consolidated Q4 revenues. API sales for FY23 were at ₹19,724 million, up by about 7.5% over last year. For Q4, we're at ₹3,852 million, declined by about 6.9% over Q4 last year. We continue to invest in R&D, building a R&D pipeline for both the global generics and specialty business. Consolidated investment towards R&D for Q4 FY23 stands at ₹6,657 million, 6.2% of sales, and this compares to ₹6,700 million, 6% to sales for Q3 FY23, and ₹5,433 million, 5.8% to sales for Q4 2022. Our current generic pipeline for the US market includes 97 ANDAs and 13 NDAs awaiting approval with the US FDA. Our specialty R&D pipeline includes 5 molecules undergoing clinical trials. In the future, R&D investments are likely to increase both for our specialty and generic businesses. The board has proposed a final dividend of Rs. 4 per share for the year FY23. This is in addition to the interim dividend of Rs. 7.5 per share paid in FY23, taking the total dividend for FY23 to Rs. 11.5% compared to Rs. 10 per share for FY22. And lastly, on the guidance for FY24, we expect high single-digit consolidated top-line growth for FY24. All our businesses are positioned for growth. Ramp up in our global specialty business is expected to continue. R&D investments will continue to be 7 to 8% of sales next year. With this, I would like to leave the floor open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Chirag from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as we look at our $870 million base on the specialty piece, what are the key products that you think will drive growth from here on over the next 2 to 3 years, as we look at this business?
Abhay, would you like to respond?
Sure. I think the three major products for us which can drive global growth will be obviously Ilumya, Cequa, and Winlevi. And when you talk about the time frame that you are talking about, we could also have other interesting products in the pipeline.
Understood, sir. And sir, is our specialty business at this, $870 million number, is it EBITDA positive, significantly EBITDA positive? Just some color around profitability around of this business will help.
So, I mean, you're aware that business-wise profitability numbers, we do not share, so really can't answer that question, Chirag.
Would it be fair to say that FY23 cost base for the specialty business has not dramatically changed over FY22, sir?
So that would be a fair statement.
Understood, sir. And just if one more question, if I can squeeze up, do we think this is a FY24-25 launch, event?
No, I think our current guidance is that we should be filing the product by second quarter, which I think because of the FDA hold on 12 milligram, we are relooking at what should be the exact date for us to be able to file. And based on that, we can then, once we have clarity, we will give you some guidance as to by what time we can come to market.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So first one on the goodwill jump that we have seen of around $200 million from September to March. Could you provide some color there?
So the goodwill in this is in the third acquisition.
Sorry, sir, I missed you. I think there was some connectivity issue.
Mainly on account of the Concert acquisition, goodwill increase, mainly driven by Concert acquisition.
But as far as I see, there is also increase in intangible under development increase, which is roughly $427 million, which is roughly $576 minus the cash that they had.
So as far as Concert is concerned, we have time to finalize the purchase price accounting 1 year. Based on the provisional purchase price accounting, there is a share in the goodwill and also the intangibles under development. That's why you see the increase in both.
Okay, sure. And would you provide any update on Mohali? What is the situation there? It seems that we, from the press release, it looked like we are fairly confident of resolving the issue, but any timeline would you like to provide there?
What is the question?
Mohali plant resolution, when we'll be able to restart the supply from that plant?
Yeah, what I think, we've already received the what you call EIR, and we believe that in a gradual and phased manner, we should be able to start selling products out of Mohali.
Sure, and if I can just squeeze in one more, I think in the opening remark, you said the gross margin would revert to a more sustainable level. Would you be providing any range, etc., where the gross margin could end up in the next year? Or maybe what is the kind of one-off part that you see here?
So specifically, we are not guiding anything towards gross margins. Or as you said, that the Q4 expression of gross margins is mainly contributed by the change in product mix and higher specialty sales. However, there are many moving parts within this that have resulted in this increase. As we shared in the readout, it will normalize the percentage of sales going forward.
Sure. I have more questions. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, in fourth quarter, we have seen other operating income as well as other income, where substantially higher than what you booked in the previous quarter. So can you like explain what has come in incrementally there, and also the milestone income of 6.8 million, which line item it's going in?
So as far as the other operating income is concerned, there are multiple moving parts. Over it's related to the export related incentives and other drawbacks we have. And as far as the milestone is concerned, what we have, it is considered in the revenue.
Sorry, milestone is considered in? I just missed that.
The income, in revenues.
In revenues, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and my next question is, the Duracell tape update, where like your 12 mg strength is like have got a partial holdback from FDA. So obviously you are evaluating opportunities, but if it doesn't come, do you think the opportunity size will remain similar if you just have to go by single strength instead of two strength?
We are, I think, evaluating a possibility where we might have to launch only 8 milligram. However, our preliminary analysis indicates that even 8 milligram on a longer term basis is what you call, of course studies are different, but on different studies has an overall response rate much better than reported by competing products.
Okay, and my last question, can you update us on phase 3 studies of Ilumya in psoriatic arthritis? When the studies will be likely completed?
Yeah, I don't have, I think what indicated last time is that we will start guiding for what are the study timelines. Unfortunately, I think we are not ready with that information. Maybe from next call onwards, we will give clarity on what is the status of different studies as a part of the readout. But I don't expect the Ilumya psoriatic arthritis study to get completed in this financial year. It may take a little bit more than this financial year to complete.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. So a couple of questions on specialty side. One is, how does the annual price increase for these products filter down to your net realization? That's one. And the second is on Ilumya. Given the positive clinical outcomes for oral IL-23, what could be the implication for your product?
So, Sameer, I'm trying to understand the nuance of your first question. When you say filter down to the net realization, what exactly do you mean there?
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to understand is, does it proportionately, the rebates go out of that, or is it any different?
So the price increase that we take for the specialty products, at least in the U.S., I can't answer this question on a global basis, is very nominal. And when you talk about the rebating, it is very product specific again. What is it every year that we retain or pass on is very product specific. So I don't want to give a color saying that most of us we are able to retain or most of it goes back to the payers. It's like a moving punch.
Okay. But I presume some of that does come to the company.
Of course.
Okay. Okay, and for the second ones?
what is the second question, Sumit, if you can just quickly
hear. Yeah, sure. On the oral IL-23, the positive clinical trial. So I know it's 4 years or so away from any launch, if at all, I mean, you know. But how are you thinking about that?
I mean, the data that is coming out with the orals are positive, but I think the injectable IL-23 clearly give a higher response. So there is a place in therapy for the injectable, and especially when you have an injectable which is only 4 times a year administered by the doctor, we don't see a resistance from the HCPs for the use of injectable IL-23 in our product specifically.
Okay, now that's great to hear, sir. And quickly on Revlimid, I think Sun is the 7th or the 8th player to enter the market. So as things stand, do you think it's a nice, good, lucrative opportunity, or is it a lot diluted?
As of now, it's holding up. But the more number of competitors coming in during the course of this financial year, we have to, you know, observe and see what really happens.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's it from us.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. good evening. Question on CTP 543. So you mentioned that, you know, because of partial or 12 mg we evaluated, but 8 mg, just a weak clarification, 8 mg is on track to be filed by Q2?
No, Q2 is already over. So we are studying the FDA letter indicating the hold and evaluating what is the best way for us to progress with the filing. So that is where we are. I think we are, and it gives us an opportunity to relook at the data in terms of 12 milligram and what is the differential side effects and all of that. So I think we want to find a way to file the product in such a way that we still have an opportunity to get both the strengths approved.
Okay, if I get got that correct, so 8 mg also you are relooking with respect to the pros and cons of 12 mg.
I think if you see our release, I think what agency asked us to do was to move all the patients of 12 milligram to 8 milligram. So based on the experience and long-term safety study, which we already have, where some of the patients have been on treatment over multiple years, it kind of looks like a very safe product.
So I'm trying to understand the filing time period for 8 mg, sir.
I think what we are trying to do is we are trying to see whether we want to only file for, because you can't file for one strength and then file for another strength.
Okay, fair. Understood. And secondly, on India business, so we had, you know, added some field force. I see the growth. But what we pick up from the channel is volume growth is really tepid. Would you?
Hello.
No, what he's saying,
I think we lost here.
Yeah.
You can hear us?
The participant has left the question queue, sir. The line has dropped.
Okay, let him come back then we'll explain.
Yeah. In the meantime, yeah, let's move to the next one.
The next question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Well, due to the concern, we have a high R&D cost, and that has impacted the consolidated EBITDA margins. Sir, any guidance for the same?
I think we are on the lower end of the overall R&D guidance. So What is the question?
Sir, actually, last quarter, there is a 100 basis point impact on the margins on the consolidated basis due to the higher R&D on the concert, sir. So just try to just throw some light on it.
No, I think when we are looking at numbers, we don't see what you are asking. So I think it is best that you separately speak to Abhishek and get the details clarified.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one update I wanted on the ongoing five molecules which is there in the pipeline. Last quarter we had indicated that we'll come up with some more additional update on this. So qualitatively just wanted to understand in next 1 or 2 years, can we see or do you see at least 1 or 2 sizable products coming to our specialty basket from this 5 molecules? And at least if you can, you know, share us in terms of size of opportunity on the molecules you're working on currently.
I think indicated that we were to share the development timeline for all these innovative products. And what is the plan that we have for these products to be brought to market? So, and unfortunately, we couldn't do that this quarter. We will start doing it from next quarter so that you, as a part of our readout only.
Sure, sure. And lastly, last quarter we had indicated that we had in India portfolio, we had some challenges in our gastro portfolio. Any update on that? Do we continue to feel have that challenge, or have we overcome on that piece?
Sure, sure. In the last call, what we said is both in gastro and ortho portfolio, we are seeing some challenges. But now it's too early to say, but we are seeing some improvement in this quarter. Maybe we will be able to update you better after 2 or 3 quarters.
Definitely. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I got dropped. On the India business, my question was in the market level, are we seeing, volume coming down quite a bit over the last 2-3 years? And if so, what are the changes, actions we are taking, apart from the field force addition that we have done, and also the field force count, please? Thank you.
Sure. I would try and help you out. Like, say, if you look at the IQVIA data for March 23 MAT data, the volume growth for the industry is almost 0 or minus 0.5%. So to compare to that, the Sun's growth is about 11%. And if you divide this 11% growth into 3 buckets, the 6% growth is coming from the unit growth. That is a pure volume growth. Then 2% of the growth is coming from new product for us. And then the 3% growth is due to price increases. And when we compare Sun among all our peers or the top 10 companies, I think our volume growth is one of the best. There are 1 or 2 companies which are like Sun only. But most of the other players, they are not growing by even 6% in volume. So I think we are well placed. And this is also a reflection that we are able to generate the prescription in the market.
Any commentary on the new product launches? Like, we are not among the top 5, top 10 also, I think, in the new range of DPP-4, Gliptins, etc.
No, that's not correct. I think we are the leader.
You don't see our product in new because we already have these products.
Yeah.
We have
established. You have the brand, but the volume and price both would have come down, right?
No, I think price we are competitive, but I think volume has gone up significantly.
See, just to give example, like Istavel/Istamet, in terms of volume in both sitagliptin and sitagliptin/metformin market, we are number one.
In units.
In unit terms, yeah. In value term, we'll not, because we have reduced the price post-patent expiry. Yeah. And then after the post-patent expiry, we have launched a good number of combination products, which will also help us to grow this franchise.
Okay. And lastly, the field force count, sir?
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Agarwal. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions?
Just wanted to know the field force, please.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just the field force number, sir?
Field force, we are close to around 10,000 field force, yeah.
This is despite adding the last year 1,000+.
Yeah, yeah. See, expansion is a part of our strategy, so we continuously keep evaluating territories where we can add MRs. So that's a part of our strategy only.
So tell the
market dynamics are changing.
Yeah.
Consultants are now starting to practice from smaller cities and towns, and we need to find a way to reach out to these people.
Okay, got it. Perfect, and thank you, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the debt and the balance sheet. So could you just provide some color on why we've seen an increase in the debt and how you sort of see this going forward?
So the debt and the balance sheet increase is being mainly due to the bridge funding for the Concert acquisition.
Okay, and on the, can you provide the number for the interest income for FY23?
Interest income? We are talking about interest income or interest expense?
Interest income.
Maybe we'll get back to you on the specific number.
Sure. And lastly, I just wanted to ask if you could provide a number for the full year ILUMYA sales.
We're not giving product.
Yeah, we don't. We're not providing the ILUMYA annual number.
Global sales last time we increased.
Okay. No, I just asked because we used to get that annual data, so.
No, we will continue with whatever the practice is. If we were giving, then we will share that number.
Okay, I can take that separately. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bino Pathiparampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Most of my questions are answered. Just one clarification on Revlimid. Is that has that significantly contributed to your 4Q numbers, or would it be significant in 1Q?
For quarter four, it was a significant contributor.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet Pujara from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. My question was on Concert. So via Concert acquisition, we have got a DCE platform. So do you wish to continue developing deuterated products through this platform?
As on today, I think our primary interest was in deuruxolitinib, and we are potentially looking at additional indications of that product in different indications. We have no immediate plan of working on deuteration as a platform.
Sure, sir. That answers my question. Thanks for taking question, and I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Cyndrella Carvalho from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand on the India piece, would we continue the similar growth that we have reported in FY23, or do you see opportunities to calibrate this growth further?
No, I think what we have said in the past also, it's very difficult to forecast what would be the growth in the coming years. But whatever is the market growth, India business, we want to grow in line with the market or slightly better than the market. That will be our effort.
And we would have some benefits of the new added MR force also, right, in terms of FY24. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, that's correct.
On the US piece, I mean, earlier participant also asked for the Ilumya number. If you would want to share, that would be helpful. However, if I look at the gross margin, I'm just trying to clarify this again. So is that because largely our mix was tilted towards specialty business and that's the reason we saw this gross margin? Would that be a correct statement?
No, so what we have said is that in Q4, the expansion of margins was contributed by, of course, higher share of specialty, but there were also other parts leading to the change in product mix. So both have contributed. It's not only higher specialty sales.
Okay. And, sir, in terms of the overall growth of specialty business in the U.S., Ilumya would continue to be the major driver? And how do we see CZBB and Winlevi for at least coming 2 years? How is the ramp up? If you could help us understand some nuances there, would be helpful.
So all the three products that you have mentioned will contribute to our growth. However, in absolute dollar terms, I would expect Ilumya to be the largest contributor to the growth.
And any color on how CZBB is expected to pan out, any patients, I mean, in terms of neonatal coverage, anything that you would like to share, sir?
Sorry, again, your voice was a little patchy for me. Were you referring to CZBB?
I was asking to some understanding on the CZBB products, sir, in terms of the market formation, how are we picking up the coverage?
So it's a niche market, and it's a niche market, so obviously it will not be on the same scale as, let's say, an Ilumya. But in that niche, it's a very interesting product. We are right now in the process of going literally hospital formulary by hospital formulary, trying to sell the concept of our product being the only FDA-approved product and trying to get a buy-in from those. So it will take some time and it will ramp up. But the scale is completely different from a much larger opportunity like, say, Lumia or Seiko or Injury. This is a niche play.
Okay, that we understand, sir. And on the Winlevi side, sir, anything on the coverage side, do you want to highlight how are we seeing it?
It's improved in the last quarter, and of course, it's always a work in progress. And we hope to continue to improve coverage even further during this financial year.
Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, our other expenses are, almost 500 crores higher than the past averages. Is there anything specific you want to call out over here, or is this run rate something that we should, see as a sustainable number?
So, in the readout, we have said that other expenses is triggered by the higher selling and distribution expenses. And, of course, from the year-on-year quarter on consolidation, Alchemy business also is there. However, what we have said that we have almost reached to normalization to some extent. With the growth in operation, some of our expenses will be incurred towards the growth. Otherwise, I think we are almost near there.
There is no one-off in the other expenses?
No, there is no one-off as such.
Understood, sir. And, sir, second question was on this. In the notes to accounts, there is a 164 crore impairment related to an associate. Can you just provide some color around what exactly this is, sir?
So this is regarding an impairment of a loan and advances given to an associate. We are actively monitoring the progress of the associate. The prudent practice we have provided for it.
Can we quantify the total outstanding as far as for towards this transaction, sir?
So, may not be
100% of what we have.
we do not want to comment on the total outstanding or total thing. We have taken, based on the current understanding, the impairment provision as required.
Understood, sir. And just if I can squeeze one more question, sir, this heightened R&D that you're guiding towards, it's almost 1,000 crores higher than the current, you know, annual run rate. I mean, I'm just trying to think, what is it that you are kind of, you know, thinking about in terms of 1,000 crores, you know, $125 million seems like a fairly large number even for specialty business. Just what is it that you are kind of baking? Are you baking in incremental products like Concerta's products, etc., as well in this, or just what is your thought process around this, you know, incremental 1,000 crore kind of R&D budget?
I think, like what you identified, Concert R&D would be clearly contributing to a part of that increase.
And future products as well, if at all you end up, you know, acquiring more
or we decide to develop additional indication
for your existing products.
No, even Duroxolotin.
Yeah.
Understood. And do you expect this to kind of come through in like a year or so? I mean, in one full 12-month period, you will see this activity just, you know, go up to that kind of level?
No, I think my sense is that some of the clinical studies for Ilumya will start recruiting rapidly during this year. At the same point of time, we may start additional studies for our GLP-1 as well as the Concert product. So all of that, I think, there is a much more clearer visibility of why and how this cost will go up.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Abhay, one clarification on Winlevi. You mentioned that the, you know, coverage has improved in the quarter and is gradually, you know, picking up. But if I were to look at the prescription data that is available, you know, Winlevi has been sort of, you know, broadly, you know, been in the range of what we have seen for the last couple of months. You know, how should we look at, you know, improvement in prescription for Winlevi? And is it tracking in line with your expectation, better than your expectation? Are you seeing any challenges in ramp up? Any color there?
So what you're seeing is the outcome. And if you are tracking the prescriptions, with the improved coverage and also the change in the copay, these are far more valuable prescriptions than what we saw earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
And the coverage has improved. It is like part of the covered population, right? It's you know, it's
yes.
Improved in some pieces, other pieces still remain. So when you make the copay change, prescriptions vary. Sort of plateau for some time. But with improved coverage, I think the idea is to grow the prescriptions from the current.
Yes, yes. But when do you start seeing that in numbers? You know, now you've seen that come off, the prescription come off as we, you know, change into the copay. Coverage is improving. So in your view, when do you start seeing the benefit of the improved coverage in prescription numbers, you know, stepping up from the current run rate? Is that 2 quarters away, 3 quarters away, it take longer?
I don't think it should take that kind of time. In fact, in our budgeting, I mean, we are expecting it to happen early.
All right. And, you know, any challenges in terms of...
Q2, Q3 in mind. I would be happy.
Okay, understood. And we're not seeing any challenges in our ability to get more coverage for the product. You know, that's not a concern.
It's a challenge. I mean, it's a process that we have to go through, keep explaining to the payers why it makes sense for them to cover this product. So, I mean, getting coverage for any product is always a challenge, and it's a challenge that we are expecting to meet.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Well, most of the questions have been answered. Just if you could quantify the PLI benefits which has been there for this quarter.
So normally we do not quantify any type of incentives or grants what we receive as part of our achievement of any targets or schemes related investments.
Okay, this would be in other operating income, right?
Other operating income, yeah. Oh, what I want to say is that this has been consistent between Q4 and Q3.
Got you. And just on the guidance, while you know the specialty sales continues to ramp up nicely, even we continue to outperform in the domestic formulation markets and emerging markets, and ROW also continue to grow at a robust double-digit growth. So what's holding on to guide for a single-digit growth for FY24?
No, I think it's after evaluating all the businesses upside as well as downside and taking a conscious decision that we want to share a number which has a certain element of stretch, but at the same time, a certain, what you call, possibility for achievability. Because we don't want to kind of take a number far out and then say that we couldn't deliver on the number. At the same time, we don't want to give a low-ball number and overperform.
Sure, sir. So, in fact, RevNumer also would be having a full year impact and few certain niche launches as well. That's the reason why I have the question.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but we've also shared with you that Halol, we will have certain challenges in terms of being able to sell products. We've also said that Mohali, we will gradually start reintroducing products. So I think all of those things have potential negative. So that's factored in our guidance.
Sure, sir. And just lastly, if I may...
Say achievable guidance.
Sure, sir. Sure. So while there was import alert at Halol, that time we had mentioned about the sales from that facility. On the similar lines, given the kind of regulatory action that has happened at Mohali, would it be possible to quantify how much was the sales and how much has that been got disrupted because of the recent regulatory action?
I think we actually ourselves are not clear. So we are not giving a separate guidance on that because we don't know by what time what products we want to bring back and how much of, we might be able to protect the entire business also. So I don't want to kind of come up with a number which then has no relevance.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Outlook, given the challenges we've had this year, how are you seeing the outlook for our business over the next 2 to 3 year period on a qualitative basis? Is there a, given the fact there is some talk about the markets stabilizing, price realization situation improving at the margin in the overall US market?
No, I think, Abhay, would you like to respond? I couldn't fully hear the question.
No, same here. I also couldn't really understand the question.
So, basically, I was
talking
trying
about
to say,
the generic side of the business.
The generic side of the business.
Specialty, I couldn't get it.
The generic side of the business, Abhay.
So, could you reframe your question, please? I'm really not sure what was asked.
I was just trying to ask is, given the fact that we've had challenges this year in the generic business, but at the same time, there are some positive signs in the market stabilizing from a pricing perspective in general. And given the fact, with whatever pipeline that we have, about 97 odd ANDAs awaiting approval, qualitatively, where do we see the generic business headed over the next couple of years for us, given where we were in FY22-23?
So, I don't see the price stabilization that you are speaking about. So and not just from a Sun perspective, but also from an industry perspective. I don't see that. So I think your that basic assumption is probably incorrect. So in the overall context, I think if I look at the market in general, it's a low growth or a degrowth kind of a generic business in the US. Volume growth is there, but value growth I do not see from an industry perspective.
Okay. And second question on the sir, on the acquired assets like the concert business, what is a typical account amortization policy to be followed, sir?
Murali, can you
respond? So normally it depends for the class or type of asset, varies range life, economic life between 8 to 15 years.
Even for patented clinical assets, we can take such a long period of amortization, sir?
So that will also driven by the patent expiry, that one factor we'll consider.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, sir. First question is on to understand the cost equations better. Sir, the first, whether the remediation spend on the two facilities which is under observation, so whether that expenses are fully factored in the quarter?
So the incremental expenses for remediation has broadly been already factored in the quarter.
Okay. So practically the question was that we have seen already kind of upswing in the gross margin, which also to some extent supported our margin this quarter. And for future going ahead, we are guiding for a kind of enhanced R&D spend 200 to 300 basis points from the current year base. And we are also indicating that the gross margin scenario is likely to be normalizing going ahead. So I'm just trying to understand how the profitability should be for FY24. So from that perspective, my first question would be that how should one really see Taro's performance in the subsequent period? Because it has been very subdued in the current financial year, and possibly that could play a kind of a margin boosting trigger. So if you can share some idea about it and how should we really look at it?
No, I think we don't guide for overall profitability because there are so many moving parts. At the same point of time, some of your points about increase in some of the costs that we are guiding for are valid. Also, however, finally, your question about Taro, I mean, if I see the Abhay statement about overall competition for pricing, dermatological products that Taro currently markets has the highest level of new entrants and new competitors coming. So it will continue to see significant price competition going forward.
Okay. Okay. My second question, sir, on the India formulation business. See, generally, having seen a kind of a consistent performance during difficult times of last 2 years, so most of the players have either expanded their field force, enhanced their market presence, product basket, all that. So that is in a way has a intensified competition, I believe. Here we have expanded our field force as well, and we have penetrated in the existing product basket better. So if you can give some sense versus FY22, in FY23, how the profitability would have changed? Not any specific number, but qualitatively also, if you can share something in this.
India business.
So specifically on the India business or business-based profitability, we do not comment as such.
Sorry, sir, I missed your last statement.
So what I said is that business-wise or segment-wise profitability, normally we do not comment.
So that means the full field force expansion cost has been reflected in the last year numbers, and with the
yes, it has been reflected.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us at this late hour. If you have any remaining questions, you may write into me, and we'll be happy to respond to your remaining questions. Thank you, and have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.